Well, supposedly, Liszt's use of thematic transformation and metamorphosis holds it all together. As an example of what we're talking about, we turn oh so briefly to Liszt's Piano Concerto No. 2 in A major, a work initially completed in 1849 with much of the orchestration done by Raff, and revised and rewritten by Liszt himself four times, the final and definitive version dating from 1861. We listen initially to three widely spaced moments in the concerto. First, the gentle lyric opening of the concerto In the Winds. Now we hear the stirring march theme of the finale, music marked martial, warlike, a little less fast. Lastly, we hear this glorious music marked appassionato, impassioned, near the very end of the concerto. Well, did we hear it? Did we hear that all these thematic chunks were transformations, versions of the same tune? Let's do it again, back to back this time, the very beginnings of each of these three widely separated sections of music. First, the gentle lyric opening of the concerto In the Winds. And now, the march theme of the finale. And now, the appassionato passage near the very end of the concerto. It is this sort of musical coherence that Liszt counted on to hold his idiosyncratic, often stream of consciousness, orchestral program music together. Alas, it often did not work. That is, Liszt's themes are often so metamorphosed, we simply don't recognize them in their various permutations. And when it does work, it is often still not quite enough to hold together the various lengthy episodes of a given piece. My friends, Liszt's symphonic poems are genuinely avant-garde, experimental artworks, and despite their originality, harmonic inventiveness, and truly superb orchestration, oh, Liszt got very good at orchestrating, they are problematic works, incredibly influential, yes, but often sprawling, and on occasion, despite their beauties, borderline nonsensical. That's what happens when you innovate. You take risks. Sometimes you succeed, as in the B minor sonata, and sometimes you fail. But as the saying goes, if you live at the edge, the greatest risk is taking no risks at all.